went to Little Ross's Christmas show, and it's in a church, and I guess it's a church school he goes to. So there was a pastor, and the pastor did some things, and there were two pastors, and they didn't get into preaching too much. But enough where, here's a regular church building, the pews, the altar, and all the stuff. And I'm so accustomed to what we do as a church that to go there was odd. And there was a lot of people there who I'm sure didn't go to that church. So that attributed to, I guess, what I saw. But it made me think of the church as a whole, from the top down, looking at the body of believers in this country, world, today in this country, and how much work that is to keep faith alive, and feed the flock and lead. And I was just impressed with just how much it takes and how much effort goes into churching and seeing it from perhaps God's point of view, what all is involved. I know you focus a lot on the guys who are screwing things up. There's a lot of people who are doing what they can to make it work.
No, I know.
It just amazes me that I never even think about it, much less touch it.
The idea that I still can't get over is that you would prepare a sermon in advance, and it'd be word for word, and then you pass.
Yeah.
That would be that.
And
that,
have it on the screen.
But
a lot of people don't do that, though. I mean, the churches I went to, they never did that.
No, I know. I'm just saying that's one that would be tons of work to me, anyway.
Oh yeah.
And then try to remember it
and make it real when you do it.
But anyway.
Well, I have that same trouble at wedding. I do prepare a sermon, or a script, you might say, but I can never follow it.
Well, let's go to 1 John, chapter 3. Hopefully we will finish looking from the top down. Does everybody understand that this idea of Christ in you is a step, but the goal is for you to be in Christ? And that's a totally different position. And the confusion about it is revealed here in what we're about to read. So, the first part of chapter 3 is this great presentation. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it hath not yet appeared what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. In him is no sin. Whoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. His seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now that sounds impossible. Who does not sin? If you say you don't sin, you're a liar. That's what it says in 1 John. I mean, just first chapter.
Yeah.
And here it says, whosoever committeth sin is of the devil. And yet we all sin. So what's going on here?
I believe it's talking about our mind.
Remember, the devil has been destroyed. That's what it says over and over again. He was destroyed at the cross. But then what's going on? If we say we don't sin, we're a liar. But whosoever is born of God doth not sin. And the only possible way we can understand this is to understand the difference between the sin offering and the trespass offering.
Can you take a moment and define sin? What actually is sin?
Sin is what you do. It's who you are. No, I didn't say that. Sin is who you are.
So everything you do would be sin if you're in the flesh.
Well, everything you... If it's worse than that. Everything you do with your mind, you're sinning. And everything... And we, all of us sin. If we say we don't sin, we're a liar. Now this, one time when I was up in Oklahoma, Gary Richardson asked me to preach at his, this group that he has, and I did, and this is what I taught on, and nobody understood it. Nobody understood this, what we just read in 1 John, because it just doesn't make any sense to the mind.
Just one thing, in Jesus in Hebrews it talks about he suffered or did everything that man does, and yet without sin.
Well, but you have to hear this. This was the dividing line, was the baptism. From his birth to his baptism, he was just like, he was Son of Man, just like the rest of us. Now, from his baptism on, there was no sin. Because he never went back to his mind. He was tempted to, all those times we talked about. But he always repented when that wanting to go back to what his mind was telling him. Now, that's... Do everybody understand that? He was baptized, and so as Son of Man, he was buried. In his baptism. So then as Son of God, he was sinless. Now we don't know, all we know, he was subjected to sin, and he had to push everything the same as we do to find out there's no there in time and space. then from the time of his baptism on was when he did not sin, because he never gave himself over back to his mind. He did nothing of himself or from himself. And that's what it means that we continue with him as his temptation. His temptation has nothing to do with what we deal with until we begin to see, well, until we get in Christ instead of just Christ in us. But listen again. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Because the flesh can't see him or know him. And every time we go back to our minds for anything, then we are back in sin. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. And in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. I mean, that's the most confusing set of scriptures there is in the Bible. Because you can't understand it unless you see his dual nature and now see our dual nature. We aren't believers just because Christ is in us. Christ is in all men. We are believers, and this is that battlefield. We are believers when we've abandoned this, when we've seen this being as dead. But every once in a while we get back resurrected. But if you resurrect him without excuse, then you're in trouble. You resurrect the evil one without excuse. The goal is abandonment of self. And you abandon self because you died with him. All men died, though. Right? All men died on the cross. That's what it says. But as believers, now we are in this back and forth. Because we don't understand what abandonment of self means. It means to divorce yourself from yourself. You get a divorce. And you go, and there's no visiting privileges. And until you see that, then you're going to justify sinning. You can't. Now this sounds impossible. It's not even taught that abandonment of self is just it's as difficult as. I mean, there's nothing else more difficult than the abandonment of you. But what I want you to hear is, just because Christ is in you, that doesn't mean you've abandoned yourself. Christ is in all men. That's what happened at Pentecost. Let's go to Mark 8. Okay. Start in verse 31. Well, let's start in verse 27. Jesus went out and his disciples into the town of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And he answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say you that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them all, or he charged them that they should not tell, they should tell no man this. Now, then look what happened right after that. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan. He had just said, Thou art, you know, he just said this incredible thing. Peter said, Thou art the Christ. Now he's saying to Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, et cetera, et cetera. But the predicate here, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. And the deny is, it's apodiomai, means a complete abandonment of anything about your former self, including your mind. So you're abandoning yourself. And that's the only way you can get in the in Christ position, by abandoning yourself. Now that's the only way you look from the top down. You may say you look from the top down, but your life proves you don't. So our goal is to become, to confess him and believe on him, but then that's the first step. Then it's the abandonment of self, the total denial of your former self, as if you never lived before, because you didn't really, because men died on the cross. Now, obviously, this isn't the first time I've said this, but maybe it can penetrate when we look at the goal of going from Christ in us to us in Christ. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. It's not just now, it's Christ in you, but that's not no merit, because Christ is in all men. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creature doesn't mean an improved you. It means a you dead. And it's something besides, that's unknown. New in time. Replaces it.
To me, this is stark.
Yeah, it's stark and it's terribly frightening. Because nobody wants to lose themselves or abandon yourself. You want to fix self. And you can prove to yourself that you fix self. Except when you come to this stark reality. And so, at some point in your life as a believer, you must go from being, with having Christ in you, to you being in Christ. And then all hell breaks loose. But he alone is born of God. Go to John chapter 3, Big John. Let's start in verse 1, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, born from above, born from the first estate, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again, or born from above. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whither it goeth, or whither it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that which we know, and you testify that we have seen. You receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, no man has ascended. All the stuff about, my grandmothers and whoever is in heaven, and that's fairy tales. We don't know. But we know that no man has come, can go back to heaven unless he came from heaven.
In verse 5, except a man be born of water, is that the baptism?
The born of water?
It says, except a man be born of water and spirit. Is the water part there, baptism, which is your death, which then would lead to spirit?
Well, it's that, but it's also the idea of the water breaking in a natural birth. This is, I think, what they're talking about. So he's born first where the water breaks, and that's of the water. And then he's born again. He has to have both birth, and he's born from above by the Spirit. But it may very well mean also what you just said.
It makes a lot of sense if it's baptism, because that's your death.
Yeah.
And then
I think it's both of them.
Yeah, and your spirit is a new spirit.
Right. And so there's nothing. And again, in
he's asking about an old man or a middle-aged man.
No, he's talking about all men.
Well, specifically here, he asked a question about how can an old man be?
How can this man enter into the womb?
This old man be born again, is that whatever it is?
He didn't say old.
It doesn't say old.
Oh, yeah, it does say old. How can a man be born when he is old? Well, that could be 10.
That could be 100.
Well, the idea, though, is it's, I think
the
water is born, the breaking of the water is when all of us were born. But then the baptism is what was, or burial is what's necessary for the spirit.
Then you're the new man.
You're not the new man by declaration, you're the new man by no longer doing the things that you did before. I mean, you're new in terms of you have nothing to do with what you were before. You're because that is dead. At least that's been my experience, and it looks like it was all the disciples' experience. But the point of it is, you can't even, the whole idea here is what it means to look from the top down. You can't do that while still struggling with what you're doing or not doing. You're only looking from the top down when you've at least stopped sinning for a while. You've stopped using any of you've seen your death at baptism, but it doesn't stay dead, because it's always, the evil one is always, and your mind is evil, and the evil one's always trying to resurrect himself from the dead. It can't happen. I mean, it can't happen, because then you do, then you're not born of God anymore. You're born of flesh. But the more you see this, the more the mystery becomes clearer and clearer, the dimmer everything in the world looks like, until finally there's absolutely no interest in anything in the world. But it's not instantaneous. I can testify that it's not instantaneous. If you have the world, you give breath to earth, worldly things. And that's just the nature of the beast. This is now how you can see all these other stuff we've been looking at about, you know, if any man is a friend of the world, he's an enemy of God. Well, just think of how many times and how much we're a friend of the world. Well, and to know that you're an enemy of God when you're a friend of the world, that can cause big-time repentance. Anyway, consider these things. We're hopefully going to go back to Luke after all these months on Monday. Anybody have any other response?
Yeah, I was looking at what Nicodemus' first response was, to kind of literalize what Jesus was saying.
Well, he's trying to understand it with his mind.
Yeah, just like all of us were.
Would not the crossing of the threshold here, being born of water, assuming it is baptism, then you would have the mind of the Spirit, which is the mind of Christ, as opposed to the mind of the flesh. So you would be spiritually minded, and you would enter the kingdom, or see the kingdom, and in seeing the kingdom, life takes on this new meaning, and by the mind of Christ, you repent.
Or hope. Yeah, but you don't do it naturally. It still is unnatural to not be a friend of the world. It's natural to be a friend of the world, to give breath to things in the world. That's the nature of the beast. So that's what has to, that's where the battle is.
But in baptism, there's a real death spiritually if sin, and you know, we've done it a thousand times. So there must be something that takes place in mind world, which is mind of Christ, which is not bad.
But the mind of Christ isn't your mind. The mind of Christ is abandonment of self.
But you're dead.
But
I mean, that's accepted that you're dead.
But it's you're dead if you're dead.
Correct.
You're not dead if you're still alive.
But we are alive in Him.
You're only alive in Him when you are in Him.
Okay.
You're not in Him automatically.
All right, but that's a real place. Right? That's
no question. It's one that's arrived when you no longer use the tools of the world.
Yeah.
Because it has to be the death of your mind. That's what makes you you.
Fine. That's accepted. But then there is a mind of Christ that is real.
But the mind of Christ is emptiness. That's the point. So that's why I said Jesus did nothing of Himself.
I see in a believer that the mind of Christ is operational and that it discerns soul from spirit and it allows repentance to take place and be real.
Well, this is the same place we always end up at, but I believe that this is not an easy thing to happen. It's very, very difficult to live by faith alone. So we'll leave it at that. All right, take it, big guy.